Our first reading is taken from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. And if you wish to follow in the church Bibles, it's page 338. Page 338. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Second readings from St. Paul's letter to the Romans on page 1135 of the New International Version. So Romans 8, verse 26 to 39. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who dies. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
understand spiritual truth. Lord, help Andrew to communicate your word for us this morning, and help us to apply it to our lives in the week and months ahead, that your name will be honoured and glorified in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. I imagine that you can perhaps remember when you were growing up, often being asked what you wanted to do when you were grown up, what you wanted to be. Now, it may be that Phil over there wanted to be a train driver, which is quite a common one. But I remember other people saying being a policeman, and at times people said being an astronaut. For a few years, I used to say I wanted to be a vet like my father and grandfather, until I realised I wasn't going to be bright enough at the right subjects. And no doubt you've heard similar questions being said to your children and grandchildren. And this intensifies in their secondary school years because they're having to work out what courses to do, what subjects to study. A couple of weeks ago, I was one of the people helping at the school. They have, with the aid of CYO, there's a thing called On the Move. It's for year six children to help prepare them and to reflect on their departure from being in a big fish in a small pond to being a very small fish in a big pond. And there were people there from not only Mark's Tay School, from Mark's Tay, but from Great Tay in Chapel as well. And one of the activities I noticed was there's about 30 wooden Jenga blocks with words or phrases on as their potential priorities. And they included things like getting a good education, owning a home, having a close family, being popular, having friends, being a good friend, sporty, also patient, peace, generous, have a strong faith. And the children had to pick six as their priorities for the future, but also had to decide on which of those six was the most important. I noted that none of the blocks said being wise or having wisdom. I've never heard any young person say that's what they would like to be or to have. Yet wisdom is what Solomon famously asked God for in a dream. He's quite humble. He knew he'd been blessed. He also knew the extent of the challenges he faced. And God was pleased that the common hope of a long life, wealth, and death of enemies were admitted, and the request for wisdom was granted. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, we read, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. God also gave Solomon what he'd asked for, riches and honour. The reigns of David on Solomon are considered the high point of Jewish history, but the promised blessings came of condition to walk in God's ways and to obey his commands and statutes. Later in Solomon's life, reign, he failed to do so, and so did his successors. The Bible has a fair bit to say about wisdom. And in Psalm 111 it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Peter's already quoted a bit from Proverbs. Proverbs is attributed to the writings and sayings of Solomon. And there's lots in it. There's even several chapters about wisdom. And some of the bits, quotes from it. The Lord gives wisdom. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. With humility comes wisdom. Wisdom is found in those who take advice. In 1 Corinthians, Paul makes it clear that there are two types of wisdom. There's our natural human wisdom, which comes from experience, what we've been taught, and a lot of things we learn from are literally from our mother's knee, aren't they? Our intellect and common sense. But there's also a second wisdom, It's a spiritual gift from God. And he wrote, to one there is given through the message of wisdom. By last weekend, I thought I prepared most of this talk. Totally unconnected, I thought I'd listen to Tim's sermon that I missed while I was away. However, I noted that the title for Ian McCullum's talk from the previous week that I also missed was Decisions, Decisions, Decisions. He opened with an example of a life-changing decision he jointly made with Jennifer, like I did with Joy. It was getting married. He referred to a number of decisions the Israelites made in the Old Testament and being right with God. He asked the question, are we serving ourselves or God? And also, how many decisions have apparently no moral obligations but have life-changing consequences? And he quoted as an example a testimony from our daughter Emma that she wrote for Thy Kingdom Come prayer journal. Tim's talk the following week in anxiety included the need to truly and fully hand over our problems, concerns and fears to God, and to resist temptation to take them back. It's again a matter of making decisions and making the right wise choices. Now we need spiritual wisdom all the time, but the need is more apparent when our personal life is difficult or challenging and decisions need to be made. It's whether in our personal lives or in the life of our churches. At Aldham, you've sadly lost, unexpectedly, Keith Rush and John Pitts. And at Mark's Tay, some key people have moved on. We need wisdom now, and we'll need plenty of wisdom in the many decisions which arise when Ian retires. The letter of James opens with the famous passage about facing trials. That testing of faith develops perseverance. Perseverance has to finish its work so that we can be mature, not lacking anything. Before saying, literally after that, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Paul emphasized our need for wisdom in his letter to the Ephesians. I keep asking God that he will give you the spirit of wisdom so that you know him better. I've titled my talk this week, Seek Wisdom, and you can see why. It's getting to know God better. Now, we've all made, hopefully, the wise decision to accept Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, but we also choose how much we allow God's Spirit to work through our lives. We choose how much time we spend in prayer. We choose how much we read our Bibles. We choose how we live our lives. We choose how close we get to God. But often we forget the difference it has made in our lives. A former atheist professor put it nicely. Trying to find happiness from this world is like trying to light up a dark room by lighting a succession of matches. You strike one, it flickers for a moment, and then it goes out. But when you find Jesus, it's as though the whole room is suddenly flooded with light. Paul was fully aware of the burdens of trying unsuccessfully to live a righteous life in accordance with the Jewish religious laws, compared to the liberty that comes from life in the Spirit. And our second reading is full of so many wonderful promises. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. He guides us in what to pray. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Who of us cannot want that? What more can we ask for? It all starts with decisions. We need to make the right choices. We need wisdom. At times, we won't get it right. Then we need to lay us down any pride and make sure that we're back aligned with God and listen to any promptings of the Spirit. Quite simply, my prayer this morning is that God will grant each one of us more of his wisdom. And I pray that we will keep asking God for more of that wisdom so that we get to know him better and that our lives and words draw others to faith. Amen.